Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Morning Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Today, we're going to be talking about God as your sufficiency, God as your supply. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your spirit that you place within us. I thank you for your continuous presence in our life. I thank you for how you've caused each and every one of us to be cared for over the course of our entire existence. God, bring to our memory all of those times that it looked like we were not going to be able to make it, and you provided everything that we needed. And Father, I thank you for how you've caused all things to work together for our good. The good, the great, the bad, and the ugly, you have caused to work in our favor because your plan for us is perfect and you have already gone before us in all that we do. So I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And before we get started, we're going to open with a song of praise and worship by Vicky Yohe, Because of Who You Are.
You
That is such an awesome song. And this morning, we are going to be discussing Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The fact that Jesus Christ has enabled us to be worthy of all that we receive from God through his blood and his broken body, he has allowed us to know that there is nothing that we will lack, nothing that we will be in need of that God has not already made provision for. God is simply directing us in the way that he needs for us to go. If you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were out in the desert and they were going to the promised land. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people going from Egypt to the promised land, to the Holy Land. They were traveling through the desert, and it says that God caused the shoes of their feet, their sandals, did not even wear out for all of that time that they were in the wilderness. But also, while they were in the desert, God provided food for them. God provided, he provided from heaven. He provided manna, the bread of heaven, and he provided water for them while they were in the wilderness, while they were in the desert. And what's interesting is that the people had to get up every morning and they had to go out and find where the manna was, where the provision for that day was. And then all the people had to move in that direction to the location of the manna for that day. What you can see in this is how God uses your provision to move you in the direction that he needs you to go. But if you decide that you are not going to get up and you are not going to move, then you're not going to eat, because the way he designed manna was that it was good only for the day in which it was sent. The manna came down. The manna was collected after people went to the location of the manna, and the manna was consumed for that day. See, remember, we thank God for our daily bread, right? God's provision for us is daily, and that is why we need not worry about tomorrow, because today is what God wants us to focus on. God wants us to know that in this 24-hour compartment of time, all of his grace, all of his mercy is ours, all of his favor and all of his power are ours as we need it, and his unmerited merited judgment that's withheld from us, his mercy, is ours this day. So when we are tempted to think that, oh my goodness, I'm suffering or I'm being taken out of the game because I did something bad, no, you are in the situation of God ordering your steps. Remember where it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? God is ordering your steps and using your current circumstance to direct you to your next assignment. What that means is that there are people that you would not normally meet that you're going to have the opportunity to encounter. You're going to have the opportunity to minister to them, and they in turn are going to have the opportunity to minister to you. And God is going to ask you to do some things that you would not normally do, because you're going to be in a place where you are not normally at. So let's say that if everything went perfectly last week or last month or last year, you would be at a specific job at this time during the day. But because you lost your job, you are now looking for work. And you're in a whole lot of different places looking for work. But in the process of looking for work, you are representing God in a whole lot of different locations, as opposed to simply being in your cubicle or in your office, behind your desk or behind your machine, wherever you are doing your job. You are in another place. And you need to allow God to use you exactly where you are, to know that God is allowing you to go in the process, to go in the place of finding your provision, so that you can in turn fulfill your assignment for him. I want to read about what God's desire is for us, what God's will is for us as it pertains to our provision. One of the things that we need to learn not to do is to serve mammon, is to serve money. In the world, you hear this phrase where it says, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so much of our mindsets as we have been brought up in America are associated with that. And in much of the world, many things are validated based on whether they generate revenue, economic wealth, or not. And God says this is not a measure at all. It's a false measure. And it's a false measure of a false God. I like in Psalms where it says that they who worship mammon or money, worship a blind, deaf, and dumb God. And you can Google that sometime. What's interesting is that you are worshiping something with no power, because you have to understand that all power, all provision comes from God and proceeds from his throne. And everything that you need, he's already provided for you. The question is, are you moving in the direction of the provision? Are you signing up for duty? Or are you staying in one place? Are you staying in this place where you think you need to be instead of getting up and moving to the location of today's daily bread, the location of today's manna? When I look at how God used the manna, the bread of heaven, and he sent it to his people, that basically is what led these people through the wilderness, because they had to get up and go to the location of today's provision. And when you look at where this ultimately ends up is when the children of Israel end up in the promised land, the bread from heaven stops coming. The manna stops coming because he's brought them to the land of plenty. He has brought them to the land of milk and honey, where the fruit is plenteous, where the vines grow, where there is great land, great wealth, great riches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's brought them to the great place of blessing. However, now that they cross over into the Holy Land after crossing over the Jordan, they are in a position where they have to take what they need, where they have to fight for what they want, where they have to engage. They don't just have to get up and go. And really, that time in the wilderness, the children of Israel were learning obedience. And in that process of learning obedience, they are being developed and strengthened because they're coming out of 400 years in Egypt in slavery. And then they're going into the wilderness for about 40 years plus, give or take, and in the process of going to the Holy Land. And God is teaching them submission and obedience and developing their relationship as a group of people with him. And now they're being brought into the promised land. And in the process of being brought into the promised land, they are strong enough and they know to obey God so that God can fight their battles. And this is what's making them strong. And they are placing fear in the heart of all of their enemies. And they are in the process of acquiring all that God promised to them before they even set out on this journey. So I want to ask the question, how does that relate to us? What does Jesus Christ have to say to us about not serving money? And we know there are four things we want to do. We want to please God, we want to serve God, we want to trust God, we want to operate in faith. This is going to teach us how to do it. So I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24, where it says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So this says you cannot serve God and money. However, many people are going to try because they can't imagine life here on earth without having everything that the world has to offer. And it's not to say that God doesn't want you to have good things, that God doesn't want you to have things that bless you. It says that he will withhold from us no good thing, right? However, he doesn't want us to get our values twisted. He doesn't want our agenda to get so skewed that all of our time, all of our energy, all of our attention, all of our strength is put into making money, is put into serving our employer's interests, or accumulating wealth for the sake of accumulating wealth. God is going to give you the wisdom that you need to acquire the wealth that you need to fulfill your calling that he has for you. Each and every one of us has a different calling. We have a different ministry. We have a different way in which we are going to reconcile people out of the world into the body of Christ. And in order to fulfill that, God is going to make sure we have absolutely everything we need exactly when we need it, not before and not after. And so when we get up, the first thing that we have to do is thank God for his provision. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his presence. Instead of worrying about anything, don't worry about a thing, because God has gone before you and he's made a way. He is the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And because this is true, we should not even desire to serve money. And it will confound those in the world who don't understand how we do everything that we do with limited resources, or even without their approval, without their line of credit, without their special club, right? Look at this verse 25 in chapter 6 of Matthew, where it says, therefore, Jesus Christ says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, this is very difficult for certain people to receive because it absolutely goes against our flesh. Everything that our flesh is concerned about is food, clothing, shelter first, right? And then a whole host of other things related to self-actualization and becoming who we are and having a place in society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Food, clothing, and shelter is at the front of everything we're thinking about is people. But if we want peace, God says, look, I need you to not give any thought to these things. leave them to me, because I've already provided everything that you need. And life is more than these things. And sometimes I believe God allows us to do without things that we think we just have to have, so that we learn that we don't actually have to have any of these things. And when we realize that his presence is enough, and we realize the other ways that God has of getting his blessings to us, then we can always rejoice. We can always glorify God. We can always ask the question, how is God directing my paths in this situation today? See, if you got up and your car didn't start today and you have to walk somewhere else in order to get your car started, or you might even have to ask someone else to come and help you start your car in the process of this, these are ministry opportunities. These are opportunities for God to show himself faithful to you and for the body of Christ to work to support one another, so that one of your brothers or sisters in Christ can come to your aid and they can help you get your car started. You can minister to them. They can minister to you. You are mutual blessing, and you see God's provision, because you don't know what other reasons God has for connecting you with the people that you're connected to. As a matter of fact, the person that comes to help you start your car might need the ministry from you more than you might need your car started. And I know that's hard for us to understand when, you know, we have places to go, we have things, places to go, things to do, people to meet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at verse 26 of chapter 6 in Matthew. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" See, this verse says, are you not more valuable than the birds? Does God not provide for the birds? And they don't carry around barns. They don't carry around satchels. It says God provides their provision daily, and he feeds them. How much more valuable are you that God would not feed you, right? Why are you worrying? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So he's saying here, Jesus Christ is saying, what are you achieving by worrying? How productive is all of your worrying? And he really calls this out a little later, and I want you to hear it. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as like one of these. And so this is also interesting, is you see, you know, we're fretting, I don't have clothes to go to this and I don't have clothes to go to that. If God has asked you to go somewhere, get what you have. Use what you have. Look for the opportunities to see, know, and understand that God has given you everything that you need for everything he's going to ask you to do. And in your mind, you might not think you have what you need. But trust me, it's there. You simply have to stand on the promise and look for it. And now in verse 30, it says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Remember, you know, he's saying the grass here is beautiful today, but then tomorrow after it's brown, it's going to be burned or gathered up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you are going into eternity. God clothes you each and every day. He is not going to see you without. See, there are countries in the world where you can actually identify poor people because they're walking around naked. And in the United States, we don't allow that type of poverty to exist for the most part. Now, in deep rural areas, you might have places where people are not wearing clothes, but for the most part, you don't see that. And God says he is going to clothe you. But, and then he also, Jesus Christ refers to this, he says, O ye of little faith, right? Trust God to feed you. Trust God to clothe you. Trust God to provide for you. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. This is one of his names. This is one of God's names. That means that he has to stand behind that name. He has to provide because it's who he is. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Verse 31, therefore do not worry. I'm going to read that again. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he knows that you need all these things, right? So if God knows you need these things, God is going to provide those things. You simply have to trust him. And in trusting him, he gets much glory. And in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first. So seek not what you shall eat, what you shall wear, and what you shall drink. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, when I see this where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek those opportunities to reconcile the world back to God, to reconcile those who do not yet know God back into the body of Christ and his righteousness. And I see Jesus Christ as being his righteousness and his in Christ in us as his righteousness. So we have to seek these things. And it says, after we have sought these things, then what we eat and what we drink and what we wear are going to be added to us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. So do not worry. Do not worry. if there is a word that I have for you today, do not worry, and know that God has gone before you and that he's going to provide everything that you need and use it to order your steps. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this word. I thank you for your people, and I thank you for your faithfulness. God, I thank you for you bringing to our remembrance all those things you've done in the past and increase our faith so that you can do more in our futures. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for this. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.